Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we would love for you to be a part of this edition. If you would like to call right now, well, we'd like that too. 844-322-2742. If you have some struggle in life, some Bible passage you can't quite untangle, well, this is a good opportunity to call straight into the studio at 844-322-2742. We'd love to speak with you because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. A couple of things before we get into the content of the program today. First, I want to thank all of those who stepped up and gave generously on Giving Tuesday. We had a wonderful, wonderful response to that. We had big gifts, little gifts, lots of gifts. It was great to see. So we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Yeah. It really kicked off this giving season. And so we're looking forward to see how God continues to provide and to meet the needs of this ministry through this particular month. So first of all, thank you very much for all of those who stood with us on Giving Tuesday. Second, we have a brand new video on our YouTube channel, and it's answers the question, how to live in uncertain times. And boy, 2020 has been a year of uncertainty for so many. And they're scratching their heads trying to figure out what to do, how to live, how to just take the next step. Well, this particular video is filled with practical helps from the Word of God that can get you kind of looking beyond the circumstances and recognizing that you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you. So we encourage you to go and take a look at that and then share it with your friends. And then second, Andrew, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Yes, yes, indeed. So we're talking about making the case for grace this particular month. We have a resource that we have available. It deals with Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And in those particular chapters, the Apostle Paul really makes the case for grace as far as day-to-day living is concerned. We need grace for salvation, but we need grace to sustain us. We need grace to empower us to live out who we are as children of God. And that grace is tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. As John wrote in his gospel account, he talks about Jesus becoming flesh and blood and dwelling among us, and he talks about Jesus being full of grace and truth. So if we're going to know anything about the grace of God, we're going to have to take a good look at Jesus, aren't we, Andrew?
Absolutely, yeah. You try to get to know a generic idea of grace that, you know, maybe God up in heaven is nice and good. Well, that's not going to take you very far. You have to become acquainted with Jesus as the gate. He is the door, and he's the doorway to see that to Daddy beyond the doorway. And it's not just about doctrine. It's about a person. He says the truth will set you free, but then he goes on and he says, when the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And as you work your way through Romans chapters 5 to 8, some of the most powerful chapters in all of the Bible, Bob, I mean, it's just so incredible that we have peace with God and that we've got incredible access to our Heavenly Father. All of this is through Jesus. We're justified by His blood. We've been reconciled and brought near to Him. And then by the time you make it to the final chapters there, 6, 7, and 8, we find ourselves in Christ and united with Christ, having participated in His death, burial, and resurrection. We're made into new creations. We're living by the Spirit and invited to walk by the Spirit. There's just so much here. It is so rich and so beautiful. And yes, at the core of it is Jesus and all that He's done for us. So let's not be satisfied with a generic grace. Let's not stop short and just be acquainted with the idea of God being a nice guy up in the sky. We really need to see that Jesus has done it all. He's made the way, And it's because of his finished work that we get to celebrate so fully as children of God.
Yes, indeed. And yesterday, Andrew, we talked about, the passage out of Luke where the shepherds the angels appear to the shepherds and say, "Fear not, I have good news that will be great joy for all the people." And when you really look at the content of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and this grace of God that is there for us day in and day out in the person of Jesus Christ and in this life that we have in the Spirit, you really start to see what the angels meant, that Jesus truly is the cause of great joy in our lives when we recognize all that he's done for us and all that he is in us. It's a powerful, powerful story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, what's not to like? I mean, you're freed from sin, you're joined to Jesus, you're one with him, and he lives in you, and you live in him. And absolutely, you know, there's another message out there, and that other message is you got to get close and stay close, and you're dirty and distant, you got to get clean. I mean, we hear this all the time in the religiosity out there, and yet Jesus's words still stand. He says his yoke is easy, and apparently it's light also. So real Christianity is supposed to be an easy and light connection with Christ. This world isn't easy, but connection with him is easy and light. And furthermore, we read that his commands are not burdensome. So that's the beauty of the gospel, that it's not average news, it's not mediocre news, it's not just good news, it's absolutely off the charts fantastic news. And that's why we here at Basic Gospel, I mean, we've really got a privilege. It's an honor to be able to share this message. There's no fly in the ointment. There's no worm in the apple. There's nothing to ruin it. It's absolutely through and through a beautiful message of God's grace that we can all be proud of as we lift up the name of Christ.
Yes, indeed.
That's just good stuff, guys. Thank you for kicking off the program, Bob and Andrew. Friends, we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to discuss, maybe a Bible question, well, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, of course, you mentioned the new CD series, Making the Case for Grace. And we want to send our donors a copy to say thanks for their support in the month of December. Friends, you can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net and discover the great joy that can be yours in Christ Jesus. Making the Case for Grace by Bob Christopher. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. You want to elaborate a little bit more on
that? Well, I do. I think about this time of the year. It's a year of giving, and I can think of no better gift that we could offer to our listeners than a really in-depth look at these chapters in the book of Romans, Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It really is the heart and soul of the gospel message. You really come through that, and at the end of it, you realize this really is good news. I mean, that's just not a label that we have on this. It really is good news, such good news that it's radically transformed me and really just dumped me into the love of Christ Jesus and locked me in there where I will never, ever be separated from the love of God. So we want to put this in your hands, and it is our thank you gift for you standing with us in the month of December and helping us finish this year on a very, very strong note. So go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and while you're there, request your copy of Making the Case for Grace.
On to our questions now. Here's a question from a young friend of ours, Logan, who lives in Denton, Texas, and I'm going to start it with his postscript to the question that he has, and he says, "Bob's hair looks great." Now, kind of differentiating as to which
he's
one
talking
he's talking about
us.
Well, I appreciate the comments. We've had several comments on that, and I just want you to know I'm feeling the love, so thanks for that. Well, here's the question concerning fearing the Lord. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about having fear in the Lord. What does it actually mean? What does it look like to have fear of the Lord? That's from Logan and Denton.
It's a great question, isn't it, Andrew? And it certainly doesn't mean that we're afraid of him in the sense that we're afraid that he's going to punish us for something that we've done. It doesn't mean that we fear death, because in after death comes judgment. So That's not the fear that he's talking about. So what does it mean to fear the Lord?
Yeah, well, you know, Proverbs 1 brings this up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I think that simply means know your place in this universe. You're not the creator God. He is, and you're not. And therefore, we do have a natural reverence and awe for him. If we are in our right mind, we're going to respect the Lord for who he is. And then we become children of God. And so this fearing of the Lord, whether it's in Deuteronomy chapter 10 or Proverbs chapter 1, you know, the Old Testament has a fear, a respect, a reverence for God that we see throughout. But here we are on this side of the cross, guys, and we're under a new covenant. We're children of God, and we're forgiven and cleansed and righteous and one with Christ. But the reverence doesn't stop. The respect is all the more because, you know, we have this God who is at work in us, and we're working out our salvation. We're not working for our salvation, but we are working out our salvation because it's God who is at work in us. And so we do that with reverence and awe. Because we wake up every day and we're saying, wow, are you kidding me? The God of the universe, creator of all, now resides in me, in the person of Jesus. This is unthinkable. I mean, this plan that was concocted by God before the foundation of the world has now come to fruition. Christ in me, my only hope of glory. This deserves my reverence, my awe, my respect, because, you know, God is omnipotent and omniscient. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he has decided that I am worth his time. He's decided that I am worth his attention, and he has also decided to take up residence in us. And there's no greater honor, and certainly it's a cause for respect and awe, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, one of the things that I've likened this to is the passage we see it a couple of times in the New Testament where it talks about God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud.
Yeah.
And it's that awe and reverence, that fear of the Lord that really is hand in glove with this attitude of humility. This, like you said, recognizing your place in the universe, and that if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have abundant life, if you're going to experience that here and now, it's going to come to you as a gift. So you have to humbly receive that. And I think there's a big connection between the fear of the Lord and walking in humility. And in that you receive all the blessings that God has for you in Christ Jesus. It's interesting in Romans chapter 3, when Paul is talking about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there's no righteous ones and that sort of thing. And it says within them, they have no fear of the Lord. And there's this pride, this rebellion in the heart of those that are standing in opposition of God. But there, in those who receive him, there's this heart of humility. And I really have always kind of made a connection between those two, fear of the Lord and walking in humility.
Yeah. And, you know, one more thought here, guys, that I just love out of James 4 and also 1 Peter 5, they both say, humble yourselves. And God gives us that decision to make. He won't force himself upon us. He won't push himself on us. He doesn't even seek to, you know, put us in a corner and beat us down and humble us and all those sorts of things. In fact, we find the opposite. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will honor you, or he will exalt you. And then 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may exalt you. So I just want us to notice, I mean, here's the God of the universe, the Lord over all creation, and his desire is to honor us, and his desire is to exalt us. And he's not trying to beat us down, but he is saying, you want a healthy attitude here? Well, humble yourself. Bring yourself to a place of a humble attitude, realizing who the Lord God is. And as you humble yourself, you start realizing how good he is and how amazing he is, and in fact that he has your best interests at heart. So it's the healthiest thing we could do on the planet is to humble ourselves before God and recognize his goodness toward us.
Yes, indeed.
Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And again, friends, we want you to join us at 844-322-2742. Open lines for you right now. Guys, we don't get many four-word questions, but we got one from Pat, and her question is, what does Advent mean?
Yeah, well, the word Advent essentially means to have someone arrive or have someone show up on the scene. Advent in the Latin language means coming. And so this is a time of celebration. I mean, right around this time of year with Christmas, we're celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ. And there's four different weeks that the church has traditionally looked at to celebrate. You know, there's folks who get into everything from an Advent wreath to candles and celebrating a season like that. I mean, the light of God coming into the world. That's what this is celebrating. And so here we are getting ready to see December 25, and this is the date we've chosen. It could be any date. We don't know when Jesus's real birthday is, most likely in the summer, but nevertheless, here we are at this time of the year, and it's a beautiful time where we're celebrating that light came into the world, that Jesus Christ came to be one of us, to live as one of us for 33 years, to die, to be resurrected from the dead for us. We give each other gifts, and I'm sure there's a history to all that, but this is really about God's gift. It's God's gift to us in the coming, the advent, the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And so it's really a beautiful time of year. It's one of my favorite things to do is reflect on God's divinity being compatible with our humanity. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with the birth of Jesus. Then we're indwelt, and God's divinity in the person of Jesus comes to reside in our humanity. And we've got just a million reasons to celebrate the birth of Christ.
Absolutely. And not only that, I mean, there is a second advent. Jesus Christ is going to arrive again. He's going to come again. And that's good news for us as well. That's our hope, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
So it's a good word, this word advent. And I know as a kid, and I'm sure you did the same, Andrew, we did the wreath. That's what our church did. You know, there was the lighting of a candle every Sunday, and it was a big to do, and all in anticipation of the arrival of Christmas and the celebration of his birth. So it's a good thing that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son in the world, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you again, 844-322-2742. You know, the live YouTube and Facebook video streams of Basic Gospel bring you inside the studio to join Bob Christopher and me, and today Andrew, of course, as we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time. Now, you'll find links to both Facebook and YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Just click your favorite just before the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time. You'll automatically join the live stream. And by the way, that's a great way to get your live questions to us. As you view, just post your questions in the comments or chat box, and we'll see them immediately, and we'll address those questions as we can here on Basic Gospel. Just one more way that you can connect with Basic Gospel. Bob?
Well, yes, indeed. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to talk to Leon. Hi, Leon. You're on the air.
Hello, Leon.
Well, let me put Leon on hold and see if we can get him back. Leon, you're on the air.
All right.
There he is.
How's that? Are we good?
We are good to go. Welcome, my friend.
All right. Well,
thank you for this great program. We'll always look forward to listening and supporting. I'm in a study, and of course, I guess I've been in study for the last 40 years, but we're looking at covenant theology versus dispensationalism. I see no instance in the scripture where the body of Christ is considered spiritual Israel. And I don't see why certain covenant theologians do not believe in harpozo or the rapture. I mean, caught away. So, yeah, I know we don't have a whole lot of time. But briefly, if you can delineate between the two and maybe give me a little project there to work on.
Well, we're glad that you called us, that we can give you a project. And Andrew, this is a big question. You know, how do you read the Bible? Do you read it from a covenant perspective? Do you read it from a perspective of dispensations that it's been divided? I think we have to really start with the fact it's the story of Jesus, isn't it?
Yes. You know, you get caught up in the isms. If we're not careful, we get into dispensationalism and we get into the ologies, different theologies, and we feel hemmed in. We feel boxed in. You know, the idea that there are dispensations, well, clearly there's an old covenant and a new covenant. And obviously the treatment of people under the law is very different than the treatment of saints today living under God's grace. So I think we need to ask the simple childlike question of what does the Bible actually say? And so, you know, with your question regarding the rapture or the return of Christ, does the Bible speak of a rescue? Does 1 Thessalonians speak of us meeting Jesus in the air? Is there a return of Christ and those who are still on the earth are taken away with Jesus to be with him forever? Yes, absolutely. That is explicitly described in the New Testament letters. So we nod our heads and say amen to that. And then as far as dispensations, again, we get out our childlike faith and we simply say, now, how many covenants are described in the book of Hebrews? How many covenants are described throughout the New Testament? What about by Jesus at the Last Supper as he raises his glass? I mean, he's talking about a new covenant, and then there's mention of the old covenant as well throughout the letters that we read today in the New Testament. But we don't need 5 and 7 and 12 dispensations to understand how God relates to us. We're either made right by law or we're made right by faith. And today we live under a new covenant. We live under God's grace. We're made right by grace through faith. And guys, I just think if you take that simple approach, sure, it might cut down on your pleasure reading of theology books 10 miles high because you've jettisoned the isms and the ologies, and you've decided to go back to God's Word and say to the Holy Spirit, teach me and show me this simple truth that's going to set me free.
Well, Leon, we're out of time. We sure appreciate the question. We would love to have you call again, and we can talk about this even further. So yes. Thank you so much, my friend. We appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everybody. Thanks to all of you who joined us today for Basic Gospel. And thanks again to all of you who support this ministry with your prayers and your gifts. It's what keeps Basic Gospel on the air and online. And when you make your December gift, as we've said, we'll send you a brand new CD series by Bob Christopher called Making the Case for Grace. It's a walk through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, where you'll discover the joy of a grace-filled relationship with Christ Jesus. And we want to send it to you with our thanks for your donation this month. To make your gift, click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Making the Case for Grace. Well, between now and our next broadcast, if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome issue of everyday life, well, we invite you to call 844-322-2742. We'll help you by discussing it on Basic Gospel. In the U.S. and Canada, that's 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today and inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue through that wonderful study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide by Bob Christopher here on Basic Gospel. That's tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.